chapter 15. There's a verse we've been using, verse 16. I'm going to read it. Something we need to apply to our hearts to realize this is God's will for the believer. And all the way through the scripture, we've seen over and over, we're like on lesson 11 or 12, something like that, on bearing fruit and what fruit is. Fruit in our lives that we need to bear fruit for God and allow God to have His will and way so this can happen, and things that hinder us from bearing fruit. And it goes right along with the light of God's Word, how God's light shines forth from us. It comes from Him and it goes to us, but it shines out. It said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's something they see, and bearing fruit. It's something people can see. But there's other fruits that God gives us, like peace, joy, and contentment that comes from our heart, that comes from the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to work in our heart. And we know there's fruits on the other side that are waiting there for us, that God's put there for us. So things we do right here on earth, that there is a reward on the other side. So the fruits that remain, and so those are interesting. But we're looking at some things that hinder us from bearing fruit. Now, let's look here at 15:16. The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, it will be given you. And we looked at fruits to life eternal, fruits of righteousness, fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of our labor, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the fruit of our lips. And this is something that in Brother Grissom, that's what God was doing with this neighbor. That's what Miss Liz is doing, speaking forth the fruit of her lips going forward, sharing Christ. And that should be our goal. If that's not your goal, we're not walking in the Spirit of God. Because walking in the Spirit of God compels us to, when we're around people, we're looking for opportunity. Not just talk about the weather. We use the weather, we use situations, use our country, anything we can use to coordinate to turn to the gospel. It's like squirrel hunting. You go in the woods and you listen. You're quiet as a mouse. You're listening. You listen to hear a shh, or you listen for nuts falling out of a tree. And you walk real quiet to it, listening. But you're looking for opportunity to get right to where you're about underneath of them. And you can look straight up and squeeze a trigger and plop him out without him not knowing you're there. Witnessing is kind of the same way. You're looking for opportunity without scaring them off and realize, oh, it's a Christian. And boy, you can feel it come up. There's a shield comes up, and all of a sudden, they don't want nothing to do with what you got to say. And there's your dad. You're looking for opportunity to get through to him to where he'll hear the truth. And everybody's different. There ain't one situation just like another. It's very rare. I mean, you might find some similar, but usually it's like with Misty. You know, she needs God in her life. And same thing. Everybody is different. So we're looking for things that would hinder. Now, things we can do to be prepared that we're ready and we're loaded and ready to go when those things happen. So we know it's God's will that He's ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. Where did Mother Notes go? There it is. Now in Galatians, I parked over here a bit because I believe there's some things here in Galatians chapter 6, turn a few pages over, that really spoke to me and to realize these things in our life and some of the things we went over to help us realize how important this really is. In Galatians 6, and then we'll look at verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there's things we sow in our lives. I mean, Brother Grissom puts out a garden, Pastor puts out a garden. And if Brother Grissom, he got his garden out early, it probably looks luscious and beautiful, and he's had Caleb there to help till it, help pull the weeds, and to help tend to it, and it looks wonderful. Because they was there to sow into it and to groom it and to pull the weeds from it And my garden, I ain't seen it for a month, and it probably looks like the weeds just took over between my taters and my corn. It probably looks all the same and the same height clear across. It probably looks like I didn't take a bush hog in it and just mow her down. There's probably some fruit in there, but I didn't get to tend to it like I wanted to. So, what are we sowing in our lives that would help us that we can make something come out? This here says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. Submit ourselves to God's word. Submit ourselves to prayer. Give me something. Give me some things that would help you to be submissive to God's word. Oh, there it is. We can read all we want. We can read. We can read 10 chapters a day. Boy, I did my Bible reading. Boy, how much of it did you apply to your heart about God? And that's what this is for. Be not deceived. This word deceived, when I looked it up, and listen to this. It means to roam, to cause to roam from safety, to cause to roam from truth, cause to roam from virtue. All the things the devil says, there's something better on the other side here. The grass is greener, it's just harder to mow, but you know what? Devil's always got something better. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also reap. So that's the root of the matter, to prepare ourselves that we're thinking spiritually, thinking to bear fruit, thinking to sow things right in our life. So when opportunity comes, we got some. Is this. It's like that guy field work. I mean, he reads everything that you could possibly. He believes everything he reads on the internet. He knows everything political. He knows everything scientific. He knows everything about spiritual things. And he thinks he does. So you just kind of work around them guys and you're waiting. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. And there it was. Kind of. And when the Word of God hit, his mouth just stopped. I've never seen it ever stop. But it stopped when God's Word was spoken out. He bridled up because it hit him. It was God's Word. He had some big fancy thing about Genesis, what he thought the big fallen sin was. And I just told him, I said, well, God made man in his image. And he took woman from the man and they become husband and wife. What the Bible said. And when he heard that, he just went, like he's read it, no doubt, but he's never heard it before. So it was amazing what God can do. And look at verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we may not reap what? What are we looking for to reap? Fruit. That's what we've been studying about, fruit. Looking at fruit out of your life. So are you in a place, are you saved to where you love God's Word? You love to pray? You love to be obedient to God? Those aren't the evidence of things in your life so you can bear fruit. Real quick, I'm going to read this real quick. Hebrews 13. It says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now listen, in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Listen, that they may obey us. Oh, let me get this right. And for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. So to communicate, that's what God's wanting from our lives. For wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. Brother Kevin, I was tickling him. He asked for prayer in the men's prayer room. There's somebody at work. Guess what? He's trying to witness to him. That's what every one of us here ought to have somebody on our heart that God's dealing with you to deal with. Everyone sitting here right now, you ought to have somebody you already got your target and your crosshair centered on, and you've been praying, God, help me to win them to the Lord. Grandkids, children, neighbors, whoever it is, and if you're not, then you ought to be checking, say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why ain't I desiring to witness to somebody? If you're not, then you got other problems. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Look at James 3:3 real quick. And I'm going to read it real quick. Behold,
We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Now, if God was to use something, if it's going to be a bit in our mouth, why would we put God would use to put in our mouth? Hallelujah, the Word of God. Put the old King James 1611 in your teeth and let it steer you. That be your bridle that God can pull on and turn you whenever He wants to turn you and to push you that way or say, giddy up and go that way or whoa! The Word of God, that's the bit. If you're not in it, how's it going? God going to use a bit? And if you're not obeying it, you can be in it and not obeying it. It profits you nothing. You're just hearing words on a piece of paper. So, but we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we can turn about their... You ever imagine you're turning around a 1,600-pound animal? Scare you half to death that you're all going to die. But in Galatians 5:16, it says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul, to me, kind of makes it simple. Well, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't have no trouble. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are these. Those are the two things we've done, looked at, and went over. That those things fight against. I'm running out of time. James 1:14, back where he was in James. But every man is tempted. Now listen, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Why do you do wrong? Own lust in house. You're drawn away because you want. You choose willing. Nobody makes you. No one's got a whip behind you saying, hi, do wrong, do wrong. Sure, there's a devil in our mind, but if we're in God's Word and submissive to God's Word, we have that bit to help us, that reminder. So when we're tempted, well, I know what that is. Not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so we need to be truthful with ourselves when we choose to do wrong or choose to bend the rules or, well, that ain't that bad. A man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him, it is sin. Sin's present. Is your prayer life all right? No. You just shut the windows of heaven. Right as sin is doubt, anything of unbelief is sin. Third is, windows are shut again. So there the memory verses for the teenagers. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we see. Every man is tempted and he's drawn away his own lust and enticed. James 1:16 says this, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Going back to it real quick, I'm going to read this James 3:4. Behold also ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listens. Something so great, something so huge in such violent waves and winds, yet it's got that one little helm that steers the whole thing. And it's talking about our tongue, how we can use it. How it can be used. And what's it say in Proverbs, who can tell me? In the power of the tongue, there's what? Life and what? Death. I can tell someone the way to heaven. I can curse someone. I can condemn someone. I can make someone feel bad about themselves. All with my tongue. I can encourage, though. I can uplift. I could cheer someone on to do right, all by the power of my tongue, if we choose to. So we do wrong as wives because we're enticed. So when you choose willingly to do wrong on purpose, you're doing it because you want to. That's a hard one just to muster down in my crawl. It bothers me. Realize when I think something wrong or think, when you say what you want to, I'll read my Bible later. I'll catch up. Come on. I'll catch up. I'll pray later. I'll catch up. One thing I noticed about that clock back here, it has no forgiveness, none whatsoever. It does not rewind and allow you to start over and do it again. Yesterday, what you should have did, it's gone. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. Catch up, you can play a lot of catch up, and you'll never catch up. It's doing it when you got it in your hands now. Do what you need to do now. And make good time now for redeeming the time for the days. Or I like what Suzanne said. They're really evil. She added, I don't think it hurt the scriptures, none at all, putting really in there. For the days are evil. They're really, really, really evil. Redeeming the time. In other words, taking good what we got now, do what we need to do, and do it for the glory and honor of God. And I'm out of time. See, you know what I'm talking about? I'm out of time already. It's gone. Just that fast.